Nielsen Show on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Joaquin. Joaquin.
You don't have to wear that dress tonight. Walk the streets for money. You don't care if it's wrong or if it's right.
Joaquin.
You don't have to put on the red light.
Joaquin.
You don't have to put on the red light.
Joaquin. Joaquin, 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 Joaquin.
9:13, Dustin Nielsen and Lieutenant Eric with you. Thank you very much for being here, Nielsen Show. Brought to you by A&W. Chance of a possible thunderstorm later on this afternoon. Hopefully, if that is coming, it comes and goes before 7 o'clock because it's a baseball night. For Marshall tonight. So that's a weird thing, playing outdoor sports. He hasn't played a lot of outdoor sports yet. Really, the weather can impact this thing.
Dome it.
Yeah.
Right?
Dome all
Build
of these
the roof.
Small fields around the
yeah,
city.
Yeah, dome it.
Yeah, what makes, I mean, are we really committed to growing these young athletes?
Well, if you got like the portable dome business for a you know, little league diamond around here, there's maybe something there.
Speaking of cookies, guys, because we were talking about Girl Guide cookies in that last segment. Speaking of cookies, as a young child, I remember going to the mall and my mom buying me Warren Moon cookies. Legendary Edmonton sports-related cookie. That one in from Andrew this morning. And all I can say to Andrew is I want to know more about these Warren Moon cookies. Give me the details on it. Who else was getting these Warren Moon cookies back in the day?
Were there any gizmo type of sweet treats?
All right, let's go to a friend of the show, beauty lister, former Oiler, Joaquin Gage. We'll talk some F1 with him. We'll talk some Stanley Cup Final, of course, as well. But Gager, where do you come out on Girl Guide cookies, man? Do you love them or not?
They don't usually last too long.
Okay.
In this house, and they're bought in secret, I think, with change that's found in cushions or my wallet from my kids, and then they're hidden. So, and then I see the box, and usually like there's a token one left in there for me. So
oh,
yeah, they
that's
don't,
nice. That's nice of them.
No, not really. I'd like a couple, but that's usually how it rolls in my house.
So you're telling me that medal you debuted on Two Guys and a Goalie yesterday doesn't bring you any extra respect for being the best dad in the world?
Oh, it does. I went to bed wearing nothing but that last night, Dusty. And let's just say another first.
I love the fact that imagine you laying there butt naked in bed with just nothing but the medal.
Oh, I'm wearing it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's his singing best around. That sounded like the time Rashog tried to dunk on me on the show.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's good. All right, Gager, a few things to get into. Let's start with Stanley Cup Final last night. We talked about it on Two Guys and a Goalie yesterday. And if you don't yet subscribe to the podcast, make sure you do. You know, Colorado had looked excellent so far in this series. They're coming off of a game where they absolutely pumped the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Tampa falls behind last night, but certainly didn't panic and end up taking over that hockey game. How impressed were you by the Lightning last night? And are we fools for not expecting them to bounce back that way?
Yeah, we're all complete idiots because I think we all said it was basically over. But I think it was in... We had good reason. Like, the Bolts have played so much hockey over the last 3 years, right? So the I thought they just finally had hit the wall. But even the way that that game went, and Vasilevsky with those two saves that he made to keep it, I believe it was 0-0 still, I thought that was going to be the big turning point. And then the Avs score the first, and I go, oh, my gosh, this is really not going well. But they just have great resolve, and you have probably future Hall of Famer Pat Maroon scoring a yeah. massive goal and just coming back. There's just a belief on that team. I'm kind of worried about how Kucherov's doing.
That was tough.
That's a vicious play. Like, you're putting your stick in the back of the pants and pushing down, causing the guy. It's a trip or interfere. Like, it's it's not a good play because guys aren't expecting that, and you can see it down on his hips. So
yeah, it wasn't like he went into the boards or anything, but the way he went down on his pants, it looked like, to me, it looked like his left knee kind of buckled a little bit.
Yeah, it's almost like a hip or something like that. It was pretty bad.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Tampa handles things. I mean, they're being really tough, depending on what the status is of Kucherov, which I'm sure will be, you know, probably under tight wraps here up until the next game. What'd you think of Kemper last night, and the fact that Colorado has another goalie that's played a lot here in the postseason? I'm not saying go to him just yet, Gager, but would there be a level of concern around the Colorado net?
Well, Tampa did the job of going after. I mean, it's not even a really weak link, but that's the. I think if anything, that was the point where. If the Bolts have any chance, they have to get to the Avs goalies, right? And you could see that they did not pass up an opportunity to shoot the puck. They were shooting from every different angle looking for something and broke it down and did a great job. I don't think you go to the koozie yet.
Yeah.
I think you can still start Kemper, but I think you said earlier that, you know, a lot depends on how the game goes. I mean, if it's a close game and Kemper does play well, and even if the Avs lose
game 4,
you're going
to stick with them in game 5.
I think you're going to, yeah. But if there's a few suspect ones and it goes like it did last night, then there is a tough I don't even know if it's a tough decision, Dusty, because Francouz went in against the Oilers in a conference final. There's a lot of pressure there, and Gabe provided the Avs with pretty solid goaltending by all accounts and got by the Oilers against two of the best players on the planet. So I would have no problems I don't think Bednar has any problems going back to him.
Friend of the show, Joaquin Gage. He's an F1 enthusiast. He's my co-host on the Pit Stop Pals. It's our little fun F1 podcast that we got going on, so make sure you search that out on all your podcasting platforms and give us a sub over there. Gager, coming out of the Canadian Grand Prix, which had, I think I just saw the numbers, like 1.26 million people watching in this country on a Sunday, which is a huge number as far as TV ratings go. What is storyline number one for you coming out of this past weekend?
Well, Eric and I were just talking about it. There's a lot of different ones, but I think if you go to the real main one, it's the dominance of Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Just the way he was after the safety car with 16 laps left, being on about, I think it was like 8-lap older tires, and being able to defend against Carlos, where Carlos, the Ferrari cars, were performing. They were the fastest cars on track, and Max was just picture perfect through those corners. Again, you know my infatuation with the helmet cam, Dusty, and watching Max, like, I watched those last few laps, and it was like every lap was on repeat. Like, he was in the same position the whole time, and just not although, you know, Carlos was under a second and in DRS range basically the whole time, he didn't provide him enough to get alongside him and make a move.
When you look at Verstappen, and, you know, I don't want to sit here this early in the season and say he's going to completely run away with it, but, you know, Ferrari has had some car issues. Mercedes is not where they want to be just yet. And, you know, we discussed this yesterday when we were talking about it a little bit. And, you know, Mercedes this week, you know, you get Lewis Hamilton back up on the podium, George Russell right there, right behind him, another top five finish for George Russell. But that's with Leclerc finishing behind them because he started much further back, and that's with, you know, Perez, you know, not finishing this race. So do you legitimately see positive steps for Mercedes this past weekend, or do you think they just finished where they finished because some other cars had some bad luck?
A little bit of both, I think. You saw the Mercedes kind of, with their speed and how the porpoising or bouncing, it did seem to get a little bit fixed. And even from what the drivers said, it was a much better car to drive from the Friday practice to the Sunday race. So, and I think I said yesterday, Duffy, it's more, I want to say, oh, Mercedes is making good strides, but I think we have to see a few more races of them becoming more complete. Because even George Russell said in an interview that he said that they've come a long way, but there's still quite a big gap between them and Ferrari and Red Bull. So 2 weeks till Silverstone, we'll probably see a lot more upgrades at this point. I know that Aston Martin said they were going to bring a different package, and, of course, being a home race for Lewis, I could see Mercedes doing something special too. So that's a lot of data that they have now. And now with the FIA rules that they're going to, there's regulations on how much porpoising that the car can actually have for the safety of the drivers, which is good. Toto doesn't like it too much, but I can see, hopefully, within the next few races, we're going to see a three-car race at the end.
Well, it's going to be a busy July leading up to the summer break, so I really look forward to that. Gager, thanks for the time, buddy.
All right, buddy. Take care.
There you go. That's Joaquin Gage, friend of the show, and big-time F1 guy now.